Okay, this Shabbos is called by some Shabbos Shuva because the Haftorah starts with the word Shuva Yisrael, where Hoshea HaNavi exhorts us to repent. And according to others, it's called Shabbos Teshuva, because it's the Shabbos in the middle of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, so it's the Shabbos of the period of Teshuva. So there is a Medrash that says the following. It pertains to the Haftorah. Hoshea, like we said, Hoshea HaNavi exhorts the Jewish people to do Teshuva. So the Medrash says like this. The Rabbanu Shalom said to Reuven, okay, Ata Pasachta B'Teshuva Tchila. From the time the world was created, the Medrash says, no one ever sinned and did tshuva before me until you came along, Reuven, and did tshuva for the sin you did. In 1 second, we'll elaborate on that. And therefore, since you opened the door to tshuva, your descendant, Hoshea, who came from Reuven, will also open the door to tshuva. And that's why Hoshea said, Shuva Yisrael, exhorted the Jewish people to do Shuva. So it's a very difficult medrash for a few reasons. Firstly, Reuven wasn't the first person in history to do Shuva. Okay, let's first put it into perspective. What did Reuven do? Reuven sinned in the fact that he interfered with his father's married life. When Rachel died. So Yaakov, there were used to be three different tents. There was the tent of Leah, and the tents of the two handmaidens. Four different tents. And then Yaakov's tent, where Rachel shared the tent with Yaakov. She was the Akeres Habayah, she was the main wife. When she died, so Reuven assumed that his mother Leah would now be moved into Yaakov's master bedroom and have that place of honor. And instead, Yaakov moved in Rachel's handmaiden, Bilhah. So Reuven felt that a tremendous affront to his mother. And to champion the honor of his mother, he did one of a few different things. He either moved his bed into the master bedroom and stayed there so Yaakov could not live with his wife, or he moved the bed out. Different opinions. The Torah describes it in very, very negative terms, that he actually had relations with his father's wife. But he didn't do that. But he did something immodest, and on Reuven's level, it was tantamount to the ultimate immodesty by a regular person. But on Reuven's level, that was his level, that was considered for him just as bad as terrible sin of immodesty. And Reuven repented from that sin in a very, very intense way, put on sackcloth and ash and fasted and repented. He realized he did something wrong and he repented. So Medrash says, Reuven, from the time the world was created, no one ever repented before me until Reuven came along, and therefore, since Reuven opened the path for repentance, for tshuva, his descendant Hoshea will also open the path for repentance. So, two problems. First of all, Reuven wasn't the first person in history to do tshuva. Adam Harishon did tshuva. Right? He sinned, and he repented. It says, what's it called? He repented, regained his share in the world to come. After that, Cain sinned, also repented. So there were at least two people before Reuven that sinned and repented. So Reuven wasn't the first one. In addition, the second part of the Medrash is difficult. It says, Hoshea therefore opened the way to repentance. There were plenty of prophets before Hoshea spoke of repentance. The prophets are full of it. And there were many prophets before Hoshea. So what do you mean Hoshea was the first one to speak about repentance? There's another Medrash. The Medrash says like this, that Adam HaRishon met Cain after he was judged and punished. And Adam asked Cain, what happened in your judgment? So Cain said, I repented, and we came to a compromise, me and God. Because he was supposed to be a Novanod, a person who was a constant wanderer, right? Never settling down. And Lamaisa, because he did tshuva, he was only a Nor, not a Nor, Vinod, right? He didn't have to, go wandering around. He couldn't really settle himself, but he wasn't wandering around. So the tshuva helped partially. So Adam HaRishon said, wow, that's the power of tshuva. I never realized how powerful tshuva is. And he said, Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos. And that's where Adam HaRishon composed what we say every Shabbos, Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos. Also very difficult medrash. I mean, Adam HaRishon himself did tshuva. So was he so surprised that Cain did tshuva? He did tshuva. Right? And secondly, what's this idea of Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos? How does that have a connection to tshuva? Because he saw that Cain was able to do tshuva, therefore he said Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos. Where's the connection? So I want to explain and answer all these questions in the following way. Tshuva helps on two levels. It helps even after there is a decree in this world, and a person has to, suffer the consequences of his sin in this world. Example, a person murders somebody, okay, with witnesses, with warning, so he needs to be executed, okay? Now, before the execution, we exhort him to do tshuva, because then the execution, his death, will be a kapara, and he will have a share in the world to come. If he doesn't do tshuva, right, he dies with this sin on his neshama, then his death will not atone for him, and he's going to be really in bad straits for the world to come. Now, even if he does the greatest tshuva, we're not going to not execute him, right? In this world, he has to get his punishment. But the tshuva will help for the world to come, okay? So tshuva, after the gzar din, after there's a decree for this world, could be that tshuva, except with certain rare exceptions, the tshuva is not going to help to change the decree, but it will change your status in the world to come. And the decree will be a kapara, will be an atonement, with God be the world to come. But it's not going to change your decree in this world. Adam HaRishon sinned and did tshuva, and he did tshuva after the decree. In other words, he was cursed that he's going to be thrown out of Gan Eden, he's going to have to work hard for a living, right? And there's going to be pregnancy and pain of birth for Chava, and all of that was after the decree, and those decrees stood even though they did tshuva, because it didn't change what was necessary in this world. But Adam HaRishon regained his share in the world to come, and everything in this world is a kapara that we should be able to get the world to come. So all the future generations have to work hard, and there has to be pain and suffering, but that's all in order to be able to get Olam Haba. So Adam HaRishon's tshuva helped for the next world. It didn't help for this world. Okay? Cain, okay, was also after the decree that he was going to be a Novanod, right, a wanderer, could never settle down, okay, and he did tshuva. And the tshuva didn't only help to better his lot in the next world. It even compromised the punishment in this world. And he became not a Novanod, just a Nod. Or just a Nod, one of the two. Right? So that, Adam HaRishon said, I never realized. I learned from my sin that tshuva can help to change your lot in the world to come. But that it can have an effect in this world too, and mitigate your punishment in this world, that I didn't know. And on that, he said, Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is a very unique day. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's an echo of the world to come. But it's the world to come in this world already. It comes into this world every 7 days. So we have a little bit of the world to come in this world. And therefore, that's what we say in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Lahagid baboker chasdecha, in the morning, that's the world to come. That we will see God's total kindness. The emunas chabalelos, but at night, in this world, we have to have emuna and belief. We don't see it so clearly. But Shabbos represents both. It represents this world, but it represents the next world already entering into this world. Right? It says, what's it called? Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Shir, in the masculine, is always a hint to the final song that we'll sing when the world will reach its culmination in the next world. All the other songs are in the feminine. Shira. Right? Ashira Hazos. Because just like a woman gets pregnant, gives birth, and gets pregnant again, and gives birth. So there'll be a lot of tzaras in this world, then they'll be mitigated, and then there'll be more tzaras. But the final song is masculine, because there's nothing after it. That's final. Okay? So Shabbos, we have Mizmor and Shir. The Mizmor is more for this world. Mizmor means a song that that is like a pruning, right? It's a song that helps you prune away the bad. That's Mizmor. Psukei Dezimra is before Shmona Esrei. It helps to put you in the mood for davening. So it's more for this world. Mizmor is this world. Shir is for the next world. Shabbos is Mizmor Shir. Both. This world and the next world synthesize together. That's why it says, in this world, Bifror Rishoyim Koesev. In this world, the wicked sprout like the grass. But Leisham the Madayad. But eventually, they're not going to exist. And Tzadik Katomer Yifat Tzadik will sprout. Both in this world and the next world. So the whole Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos is a representation of this world and that next world synthesized together. You have a little taste of the next world already in this world. And that's why it says that Shabbos itself affects atonement. Shabbos itself has an effect of atonement. It says, when a person says Vayichulu, okay, and inaugurates the Shabbos, a malach comes and puts his hand on the person's head and says, Sor Avoneich, your sins have gone away. Why? Because in the next world there is no sin. So when a little bit of the next world comes into this world, it has the effect of taking away sins. Because you're still in this world, but you have a little bit of a taste of the aura of the next world, so the sins go away. In addition, in a more rational way, Shabbos gives you a proper view, proper perspective on this world. What's this world all about? What's the goal of it? Right? Shabbos also, in a certain way, begins the week and lets you know that God created the world and He makes the framework in with which we have to function. And Shabbos reminds us we're not the creator. God created the world, and He doesn't need our accolades and recognition that He created it, but for our sake. We have to know we're not the creators. We can't do whatever we want over here. We're bound to the design of the creator. Right? When you buy a car, you can't do whatever you want with that car. It's your car. But you can't put, you know, sugar into the gas tank and expect it to go. Or water. You have to put gas. Why? Because the person who designed that car designed it to run on gasoline and not on water or sugar. So you can do whatever you want with your car. But it's not going to function unless you do what the designer meant it to do. So if we understand that we didn't create this world, then we can't make the rules. Then we are bound to the design of the creator. And God told us, look, this is what you have to eat, and this is what you have to wear, and this is what I designed you to do. You could do something else. You could put water in your gas tank. You're not going to go anywhere. You could put sugar and you'll destroy the whole gas tank. Right? So you can do what we can eat what you want, you could wear what you want, or whatever. You have free choice, but you're going to destroy your neshama, destroy your body, if you don't do what I programmed you and designed you to do. You're designed to eat these things and to say these things and to think these things. So the Torah in that respect is like the owner's manual to the world. When you buy a car, you get an owner's manual. It tells you how to use the car based on the design of the designer. So we have the Torah that tells us the same thing. So Shabbos reminds us that God is the one who calls the shots here. He created the framework. And we have to fit within that framework. And that the goal of everything is the world to come. So Shabbos both starts the week. It's the Shabbos is the Shabbos before the week comes. And that's how Adam HaRishon saw Shabbos. He was born on Friday, and his first full day was Shabbos. And then he had 6 days. Why? Because Shabbos had to teach him how to work during those 6 days. Understand, you're working within a framework. You didn't create this world, right? God created it. First type day is Shabbos. You have no right to work unless you know how to work within the framework. And then Shabbos is also the goal. It's the weekend. It's the end of the week, which is the goal of this world. So what are you in that, within that framework in this world, what are you doing? You're creating the world to come. So Shabbos teaches me these two things. It teaches me how to use this world properly and to use it in a way that will create the world to come. So in that respect, Shabbos is this world and the next world all wrapped into one. It's a little taste of the next world in this world. So therefore, it affects forgiveness of sin, not just for Olam Haba. It affects forgiveness of sin for this world too. That's the idea. And that Adam HaRishon didn't know. Adam HaRishon said, I understood that tshuva can help for the next world, but I didn't think it could alter what already was done in this world. So therefore he saw from Cain that his tshuva helped even to change the situation after the decree in this world. That's already something special. For that he said, Mizmor Shaliyom HaShabbos. That's the concept of Shabbos, where this world and the next world can synthesize and come together. Reuven also sinned, before there was a decree. But Reuven's tshuva not only helped for the world to come, it mainly helped, it helped for this world too. How do I know that? Because Reuven eventually lost a lot of very, very special opportunities because of his sin. Because he acted impetuously, he couldn't be the king. He was the firstborn, he should have been the king. He wasn't really the Bechor. The Bechor was given to Yosef. Right, the two portions were given to Yosef, whose two children became Shvatim, and he should have been the Kohen too, and that was taken away. And that's what Yaakov later on said, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, you should have been the Kohen, the Bechor, and the king, and you lost it all. But he didn't lose something. Something was still maintained. He still was considered the firstborn Legabe Yichus. Whenever the Jewish people were counted or mentioned, he came first. He didn't lose his rights of the firstborn totally. That was because of his tshuva. So even though the tshuva mostly helped for the next world, by Reuven, and in this world he had to suffer the consequences, but it also helped a little bit. He's the first person in history who ever did tshuva before the decree, right? Anticipating what the decree could be, and not only affected for the next world, affected to change a decree in this world too. That's what Reuven did. That was the first kind of tshuva. That was a special tshuva. And that was Hosea too. All the prophets spoke about doing tshuva, right? That you shouldn't lose your share in the world to come. But that there could be a change in this world, right? That the decrees won't happen, that Hosea said. Hosea said, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, up till God, not just in God's realm is the tshuva going to help. It's going to help down here, ad Hashem, till the Kisei HaKavod, till God's throne. God's throne represents His divine providence in this world. So Hosea was the first prophet that specifically told the Jewish people that if you'll do tshuva, it's going to affect what's going to be in this world too, right? And even after there'll be a decree, you can change a decree. The other prophets said, do tshuva so the decree won't come. But that you could change this world already, that we didn't see. Right? And that's why he says, ki koshalta bavonecha. You already stumbled in your sins. You stumbled. So now, what can happen from tshuva? The stumbling won't be terrible for the future. But you stumbled. But Hosea said, no. Ki koshalta bavonecha, you can remedy the stumbling. If you do tshuva. So not only can you right yourself and make everything okay in the next world, not only can you avert a bad, a decree, but you can change a decree too. That's change in this world. That was the chiddush of Hosea, and that was similar to what Reuven did. Okay. And that is the mile of Shabbos Shuvah. Okay? The rest of Shabbos Shuvah, Lechora, whatever was decreed on Rosh Hashanah, right, and is held now in abeyance till Yom Kippur, so the Shuvah could help, right, what's it called, perhaps to change our lot in the world to come. But it's very difficult to change what our lot is in this world. But Shabbos has the ability to be part of that Shuvah process to even change the decree of this world. That's what's special about Shabbos Shuvah. That's the Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. And that's why on Shabbos we intensify our tshuva. We don't say slichos and we don't say confessions on Shabbos. What do? We increase our Torah learning. That's why the minig is to have a long drasha on Shabbos Shuva. Okay? And to give honor to the Torah, to spend more effort into trying to understand Torah, and all of that is in this world. Because what is Olam Haba? Where tzaddikim sit and they bask in the pleasure of God. So we come on Shabbos and we sit in, with a long drasha, and we bask in the pleasure of the Torah, but with a lot of amol nigiyah. So we take Olam Haba and we put it into Olam Hazeh. That's what Shabbos is, and in that respect, the tshuva helps even for this world, not only for the next world. And there's another aspect, and that is that the whole week we're doing tshuva as individuals. Everybody, you know, everybody has their own concerns, their own personal concerns. But there's also a tshuva of the rabbim, of the community, right, of Klal Yisrael. Shabbos puts everything together because it mixes this world with the next world. It unites everything, and now we can do tshuva as a unit, as a Klal Yisrael. So people come together as a tzibur, every community, right, every kehila, every congregation, and they do tshuva by listening to a long drasha, right, besides the fact that we always say yisurim, suffering also helps to atone for your sins, and sitting through a long drasha, I don't know if there's any greater suffering than that, so that also helps for kaparis avonos, and that is also, as the Rambam says, Yom Kippur, is man tshuva liyachidu l'rabim. There's a individual judgment, and there's a communal judgment. And the whole week we're worried about our individual judgment. And Shabbos, we get together, like in the world to come, where everything is united, and we bring it into this world, and we worry about our communal judgment. And in this manner, right, Shabbos, we can change Shabbos tshuva, where the Haftorah exhorts us to do tshuva, to Shabbos Tishuva, where we actually do tshuva, and in that schus will be zocha to a gemar chasima tova for ourselves, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael, and see that this year somebody told me that Tov Shin Ayin Gimel is Tehei Shana Eis Geula. It'll be the year of the time of the redemption. So Mitzvah Hashem. I'm not big into these hints or whatever, but it's a nice hint, so why not? Okay. Have a good Shabbos and a Gemar Chasima Tova, and I will see you in Mitzvah Hashem next year after Sukkot.